Anh chị em có biết không? Hôm nay tôi không muốn giảng bằng tiếng Anh. Hôm nay tôi rất muốn giảng lời Chúa bằng tiếng Việt. Được không? Anh em nghĩ sao? Sao không có ai trả lời? I ask you a question. Why is there no one answering? Didn't understand. Good? Okay. You didn't respond to me, I guess, because the majority of you here didn't understand what I was just saying. Now, how would you feel if the whole sermon today was spoken in a foreign language without any interpretation? Do you think that you'd benefit from what I'd say? Probably not, right? If you don't understand what the speaker is saying, you can't really benefit at all from their teaching. But just in case you're wondering what I said at the start of the sermon, anyone know what language I was speaking then? Vietnamese. And there are some people here who can understand Vietnamese. Does anyone want to come up here and let the rest of everyone know what I was just saying there? I think there are a few people here who understand Vietnamese. But whether they're willing to come up here or not, I'm not sure. What was I saying? It wasn't, how is your day? I basically said, I don't want to preach today in English. I want to do it in Vietnamese. Is that okay? But none of you responded. Anyway, I think we'll choose English today instead. Well, one of the problems with the church in Corinth back in Paul's day was that a number of the Christians there thought that speaking in tongues was a cool spiritual gift to have. I'm assuming that a number of us here have heard other Christians talk about this idea of speaking in tongues. Some of you may even have heard other Christians speak in tongues. Anyone here who has maybe heard other Christians speak in tongues? There are a number of people these days who believe in speaking in tongues. So today we're going to look at, well, what exactly is speaking in tongues, and what is the place of this strange phenomenon in the church? And this is an important issue because there are Pentecostal and charismatic Christians today who number about a quarter of the Christian population of the world who say that speaking in tongues is important. In fact, traditional Pentecostal teaching states that speaking in tongues is the sign that a Christian has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So that's a big statement to make. Their teaching is based upon the incident recorded in Acts chapter 2, when during the Jewish feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down upon the New Testament church, which comprised 120 people at that time. As they were meeting together, there was a sound like the blowing of a violent wind, and tongues of fire came to rest upon each person who was there. And all of them, we're told in Acts 2, were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Those tongues were actually other languages. We know that because there were people there who heard the Spirit-filled Christians speaking Arabic and Latin along with other human languages. Reading that incident in Acts 2, the Pentecostals have applied a simple interpretational logic. If the early Christians could do that, then we can do that too. So based on that interpretational logic, the early Pentecostals believed that missionaries who were filled with the Holy Spirit wouldn't have to learn other languages when working in foreign lands. This understanding, however, was soon proved to be not the best because they saw that their theory didn't match up with the reality on the ground for those who were missionaries. Now, the technical term for being able to speak another human language without learning it beforehand is xenoglossia. There hasn't been much study into that phenomenon, but over the last 100 years, there's little scientific evidence in support of any cases of xenoglossia ever having happened. Well, what should you do when your theological doctrine doesn't match up with reality? The Pentecostals soon refined their teaching on the issue. They came to distinguish between two forms of speaking in tongues. The xenoglossia that we see in the book of Acts was called the sign of tongues, and this was distinguished from what they call the gift of tongues and praying in the Spirit, which is normally taken to be an example of people speaking the language of angels. It's like a heavenly language. Okay, that's their teaching on this issue. But what does speaking in tongues, according to Pentecostal and charismatic Christians, sound like? Well, I've got an example here for you from Rodney Howard Brown, who's speaking in tongues. He's the pastor of a church in Florida, America. And that church seeks to touch people with the power of God, this is according to their website, so that they can be sent out into the harvest field with the anointing of God. And this is Rodney speaking in tongues. So let's have a listen to this.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh. Mangaliste, 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 Mambariste, Mombervise, Bevvi, Gred, Dush, Dongri, Mangri, Nambran, Jungurun, Movavia. Ah, Rivimende, Bevviv, Indinun, Nombervia. Manchakura, Dela, Sea, Kelamanda, Dush, Sena, Mevadea, Pala, Bevadila, Bessa, Nombervia, and Danga, Kalasta, Kalesta, Kalis, Kalindu, Kalimbe, Kaliste, Kalanda, Karanda, Gunjungur, Deste, Peve.
I don't know what you think about that, but how are we to understand a phenomenon like that, in particular because there are Christians, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, who do that kind of stuff? Is that real or fake? Is that really what a spirit-filled church looks like? Well, it certainly wasn't a foreign language that Rodney was speaking there, so it's definitely not a case of xenoglossia. But there is another phenomenon that has been scientifically documented, and that is the phenomenon called glossolalia. Glossolalia is the vocalization of speech-like sounds that ordinarily have no particular meaning. The thing about glossolalia is that it sounds like a language because it has syllables. It has some kind of rhythm and intonation and pauses. But linguistic study of the phenomenon suggests that glossolalia isn't really a language because it doesn't communicate anything. The other thing about glossolalia is that it isn't just limited to Christians. Research indicates that certain shamans, gurus, spiritualists, and voodooists can also speak in tongues. Scientific research suggests that speaking in tongues, or glossolalia, is actually a kind of natural phenomenon. So natural, in fact, that it's time to demonstrate just how easy it is. So I'd like Owen to come up the front here, and also Eden. Now, tell you this, I can do glossolalia for fun. And I've actually been doing it for a number of years. Owen just started yesterday. And I would say, we have a listen anyway, but I reckon his glossolalia probably sounds better than mine. Okay, just to show you how easy it is.
Wala mista kamena, wala kudista, waki halapone, wala skipane, wala kihama, wastikone, wala kia.
Oh, alles aber die da lag dina. Da wurde dann sie mal da sogar. Hey, oh, da war ich war Papa. Ich hab wohl ja gut da schon mal. Und ja da.
Bugli bugli.
Thank you. Without any laying on of hands or anything, I just said, hey, Owen, try doing this. And it's interesting that his language sounds different from mine. And basically every time I do it, my language sounds pretty much the same. Okay, So I reckon almost anyone can speak nonsense. But those who have been supernaturally moved by the Spirit to speak foreign human languages, they seem to be rather rare in Pentecostal and charismatic circles. Now we have the opportunity to discuss the difference between xenoglossia and glossolalia further as we study the rest of 1 Corinthians 14. But please note what Paul has to say about tongues in the first 19 verses of this chapter. Picking up where he left off in chapter 12, verse 31, after his digression in chapter 13, where he spoke about how love is greater than any spiritual gift, Paul says in chapter 14, verse 1, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, but especially that you might prophesy." Notice how 14:1 expands on 12:31, where Paul said, "But earnestly desire the greater gifts." He says, "Earnestly desire the greater gifts," and then he says, "Desire the gifts, especially that you might prophesy." Well, which is greater, according to Paul, speaking in tongues or prophesying? Prophesying is greater, isn't it? Why? Well, he goes on to explain. "For the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to people, but to God. For no one understands him, but he speaks mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks what edifies and comforts and encourages people. The one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." You see what Paul is arguing here in verses 2 to 4 of this chapter? He's saying that an important part of church is the building up of one another in the faith. But if we don't understand what people are saying, how can we be built up or comforted or encouraged? And this is why prophecy is a much greater gift than speaking in tongues, however that tongues might be defined. Prophecy is when the Holy Spirit moves a person to give a direct communication from God. Anything that communicates God's word in a language that people understand is greater than mysterious babble that doesn't edify the church. It's not that Paul doesn't want people to speak in tongues. It's rather that he saw that speaking an intelligible language was something which allowed the church to be built up. And this is why prophecy is a greater gift than speaking in tongues. Unless, of course, the person who speaks in tongues can also interpret his babbling so that the church might be built up through intelligible communication. So imagine if I stood up here every week speaking a foreign language or just practicing my glossolalia. Would that benefit you at all? There'd be no benefit whatsoever. In church, in order for everyone to be built up in the faith, what we need is prophecy or teaching in a language that we can understand. If we're not speaking the language that our target audience doesn't understand, then we're basically wasting our time and not making use of the time and opportunities that God has given us in order to encourage others and to build them up with words that speak to their heart. Paul says that speaking to others in a language that they don't understand is like playing a flute with every tone hole making the same sound. Without a clear distinction of notes, there's no music to appreciate. It's also like a war trumpet that doesn't have a distinction of tones. If there's no distinction between the sounds that it makes, then the people in the city won't understand what's being communicated when the watchmen on the walls blow the trumpets to warn them to get themselves ready for war. If all we use in church is a foreign language to everyone, then nothing will be understood. It would simply be like speaking into the air, says Paul. It'd be a lot of hot air, but no communication. When you think about all of the languages that exist in the world, all 7,106 of them, at the latest count, all of them use distinct patterns of sounds in order to communicate meaning. And it's a simple observation that Paul makes in verse 11, that if we don't understand the meaning that's being communicated by the voice of the person speaking to us, then there's no communication of significance happening. It's like we're foreigners or barbarians. To the Greeks, the barbarians were the uncivilized people living on the edges of their empire whose language the Greeks couldn't understand. So when it comes to spiritual gifts, the greater gifts do more for the building up of God's kingdom than the lesser gifts do. Paul is basically saying that if you want a spirit-filled church that is abundantly filled with God's power and authority, then it comes down to the intelligible communication of God's word. So contrast what Paul is saying here with what we see in Pentecostal or charismatic churches, where being filled with the Spirit manifests itself through speaking in tongues and possibly rolling on the ground or spontaneously breaking out into laughter. If we want a Spirit-filled church, according to Paul, what is it that we need? We need, most of all, the clear communication of God's will through prophesying and teaching. So, whilesoever I'm the minister of this church, that will be my focus. The clear teaching of God's word, whether in public conversation or private conversation. Because without God's word, we are nothing. This is why Paul says to the Corinthian Christians, seek what benefits the edification of the church. If you speak in tongues, then pray that you might be able to interpret what is uttered. Because without the interpretation of tongues, not only do those around you typically not understand what you're saying, but even the tongue speaker himself, according to Paul, he doesn't understand what's being said. When you pray in tongues, your spirit prays, but your mind remains barren. So then, what does Paul recommend? We can see his recommendations in verse 15. If you have the gift of speaking in tongues, you should make use of that. But mindful prayer is needed in addition to mindless prayer. Likewise, when singing or praising God, Paul says, I will sing with my spirit, but I'll also sing with my mind. It can't all just be mindless babble. The word of God needs to impact upon our minds in an intelligible way. That's what Paul's saying here. And this also has benefit for corporate prayer. If you bless God in your spirit while speaking in tongues in prayer, how can those around you who don't understand what you're saying join in together with you in saying amen to your thanksgiving? How can they say, yes, I agree with that, if they don't understand what you're saying? Now, Paul was someone who claimed to be an exuberant tongue speaker. But despite having the gift of speaking in tongues, Paul understood that in church, speaking just five words with his mind was a whole lot better than thousands of words of mindless babble. Now, we'll be able to look at in more detail next time to see whether or not what Pentecostals and charismatics today claim is speaking in tongues is really speaking in tongues according to the Bible. But no matter where you stand on this issue, Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians 14 is clear. Church shouldn't be a place for mindless babble that isn't interpreted. That is why at our church the focus should always be on the clear communication of God's word. Church is a corporate activity, and whatever we do needs to benefit the body as a whole. In effect, what Paul is saying here is that whatever we say and do should be aimed at encouraging and building one another up in the faith through the clear communication of the Word of God. Church isn't the place to express ourselves or our own opinions. Church is the place where God wants us to express His opinions, His Word, His truth in love for everyone's mutual benefit.